Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is, 20, 30 degrees throughout Los Angeles. It's that part of the year where if you look out into the distance, those mountains are covered in snow. And that also means the flu season, and we've got a whopper this year. This is probably the worst one we've had in quite a long time. We have people dying throughout the United States, this winter flu. Only it's not just the geriatric crowd. It's just not the older people. It's not just the younger people. It's middle-aged people who are not immunocompromised and relatively healthy. So I think it's quite appropriate this time of year to understand the flu and how not to get it, because you're not going to get it. Talking to a guy the other day in Fairbanks, Alaska, it was 40 degrees below zero. So, of course, I had mentioned the cold spell here in Los Angeles. It made him laugh. It certainly did. But here's the point, so let's get down to it. Any shock to the body, if it drops from 70 degrees to 30 degrees, the body will be just as vulnerable as if you're in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it's 15 degrees, and then the next thing you know, it's 40 below zero. It's shock. The shock of winter. It's not that viruses like to hang out in cold weather. This is a myth. We're going to get into a lot of these myths about viruses and flus, but the first one is it's shock to the body. So I want to take a breather and take a look at this word shock. Shock is a word that indicates that the body cannot adapt rapidly enough to its environment. That's all shock is. The body can deal with anything. If it can deal with anything, if it can adapt in the light speed of second that it needs to, there's no such thing as shock. Shock, by definition, means that some change in the homeostasis, the equilibrium of the body, has been altered, and shock means the body can't adapt. In that gap between the stress coming in and the ability of the body to go back to homeostasis, you're vulnerable. That's what happens with these winter flus. It can happen in the summer too, but for other reasons, you're less vulnerable. But nonetheless, the winter flu is about a body that cannot adapt the drop in temperature. Second myth, the flu doesn't come to town. It's not like the flu isn't there already. Viruses are always there, but they're latent. People have this antiseptic, hygienic, ultra-conservative notion of the body along the lines of you took your herbal supplements, you ate correctly, you did all the things you needed to do, you got your vaccines if that's what you're into. Whatever it is, we've got this delusional notion that you don't have the virus in your body. Viruses are always there. The flu just doesn't come to town in the winter for Christmas. It's not that the flu likes cold weather, so it comes in when the temperature drops. Doesn't check into the hotel and hang out with room service and then just wait until it finds a vulnerable person, then it just drops in on them. This is not the reality. The flu is a virus. What's a virus, by the way? A virus versus a bacteria. Don't want to take that distinction for granted. Viruses are probably the most lethal. Spanish flu, 1918 or so, millions of people, hundreds of millions all over Europe, probably the worst one in recorded history of the last 100 years at any rate. Smallpox. You know what the Chinese did with smallpox? This is an interesting little concept. The Chinese would take the scabs, the crusts on the skin of people that had smallpox. They would dry the crusts in the sun, and they would snort the crust. The Chinese understood inoculation long before Robert Koch of England figured it out. Viruses have plagued us from the beginning of time. They are the most clever, the most insidious. And what are they exactly? Well, you can't understand the virus until you understand the DNA. You can't understand the flu until you understand the virus and the DNA. You'll see where this spins to. It's fascinating. Every cell is a grape. You've heard me make that analogy many times on this show, that nice green Thompson grape. It's got a skin, that's the cell membrane. The guts of it, the green gooey stuff, is the cytoplasm, or in the old days we called it the protoplasm of the cell. At the center of the grape are the seeds. At the center of the cell is the nucleus. Inside the nucleus are the reproductive parts of the cell, where we have the DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid, big word for two strands interfacing with each other in a helical structure. So it's a double helix. And if you separated those double helixes and pulled them straight, each helix is comprised of millions, gazillions of these things called nucleotides. There was a product at one time called nucleotide. There's a product now called nucleoimmune. Nucleotide refers to the purines and pyrimidines, cytosine, guanine, so forth, that comprise this strand of DNA. So if we go into that cell, pull out the nucleus, pull out the DNA, which is on the gene, and then pull that DNA straight, it breaks down to all these nucleotides. Now, what a virus does is it drills a hole through the membrane of the cell of the grape, and it makes a beeline for the nucleus. And it goes into that double helical structure, and it infects it, meaning it becomes part of it. If you can handle this, meaning it actually, in a sense, has sex with it. It becomes it. It has union with it. So this imposter within that strand of DNA is now there to replicate itself. As the DNA replicates, the virus piggybacks on the back of the cell metabolism. That's ingenious. It infects the cell, and then it lets the cell do the work to multiply itself. And it multiplies and multiplies. It interrupts cell replication, because it keeps multiplying inordinately until all these DNA strands, these single-stranded DNA viruses, are so numerous that they push out the cell and the cell bursts. So the cell dies because it's been invaded by the virus. And this is, of course, happening at whatever part of your body it's happening, and you feel miserable. Brilliant. Now, we've got equally brilliant ways within the body to counterbalance. But that's effectively what a virus is, and that's effectively how a virus gets in there, which allows you to understand why that product, nucleoimmune, works in that when the cells die and you feel the symptom, well, yes, you've got to kill the virus. Your body's immune system has to begin to build antibodies to the virus through the B lymphocytic system. But you have to understand the other part of repair from infection, and this is what a lot of people don't get. There's this constant emphasis on kill the virus, kill the parasite, kill the bacteria. It's a very Western microbial concept. Pasteur, isolate it, take it apart, and get rid of it. It leaves out the other half of cure. And you see this play itself out with nucleotides. You have to rebuild the cell. You have to rebuild the cell. To rebuild the cell, you need nutrition. You need your essential fatty acids. You need your amino acids. You don't need your carbohydrates. But the other thing you need are the nucleotides. Because the body has to rebuild the cell, and that includes rebuilding the DNA to the cell. So you have a rate-limiting issue when you're trying to recover from a virus. That rate-limiting issue is very much about the fact that the nucleotides that have been infected, ravaged, exploded, torn to pieces, have to reassemble. And that's why one of the things you have to pull off the shelf, you got to remember, nucleotide, the derivation of that in Switzerland was a prescription remedy for the flu. Nucleotide was sold in a different form, but similar concept in Switzerland under prescription to fight the flu. It was a medical prescription there and perhaps still is. Point being, this is an aspect of how you have to recover. And I think most of you understand this already, but perhaps not what's behind it. Now, secondarily, you have to go after the flu with an anti-infective. Nucleotide is not an anti-infective. Now, there's much ado about what anti-infective you're going to utilize. But what you want to do is make the distinction, and this is so important, the distinction between an anti-infective, that herb that will kill a virus, versus that herb that will stimulate the immune system. Those are two different things. Versus that therapy, which will make the terrain, the tissue itself, more conducive to receiving the herb or the medicine and draining the site. So we're breaking down your ability to defend itself against this year's flu into a bunch of parts. One part is to understand that you want to bring in the nucleotide. The second part is to understand that you want to bring in an anti-infective. The third part you want to understand is you have to bring in something to stimulate the immune system. What immune system? The thymus gland. That's about 3 inches below the notch of the throat. It's a little gland there. And that gland makes lots of immune system cells that go after viruses. That gland, if strong, will supply enough counterterrorism technique to the invading virus to vanquish it. That's your atom bomb. That's what's going to go in and disarm virus. And while it's disarming virus, through what? Through your antibody system. An antibody is a genetically engineered drug specific to the virus that attacks your body. We have a gland 3 inches below the throat whose sole purpose is to genetically engineer B lymphocytes, which genetically engineer the specific antidote to the specific virus. This is a process that one must participate in if you're going to heal any virus in the body. And that stimulation to the thymus gland is always an important part of what you add to an anti-infective, to what you add to the nucleotide issue. Collectively speaking, then, you're left with a tripod of an approach. And then you have to bring in a topical therapy. And then you have to understand the nature of invasion, and I'll explain that in a moment. What anti-infective you bring in is really about the anti-infective of choice. And there's different versions of that, from Podwarko to olive leaf to cat's claw. There's so many herbs from hyssop that go after anti-infectives. The anti-infective has to be specific to the brand of infection. So some anti-infectives will go after viruses. Hyssop goes after viruses. Podwarko goes after viruses. Cat claw goes after viruses. Olive leaf goes after viruses. Carvacol will go after a virus. So we bring the anti-infective in. We bring in the repair solution that has to do with nucleotide. We hope that we've got...